Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Satellite Man Cave in Grand Island, Nebraska. Joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast number 70 are Don Donfris.
Hey, y'all. How you doing?
Brad Coates.
Hello, everybody.
And David Jort.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Podcast on the Magic Kingdom area of the resort. We'll talk about some of the other areas of the resort on future podcasts. But before we get to that discussion, I do want to thank our podcast sponsor, Fairytale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Check out Fairytale Journeys on their website, fairytalejourneys.com. They'd love to work with you to plan a magical family vacation at Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, Adventures by Disney. Heck, they'll even book Disneyland Paris for you. So check them out. Now, gentlemen, tonight we're going to talk about one of our kind of favorite message board topics, I think. It's the kind of thing that gets the guys talking. And we're going to talk about sort of some of the hidden gems of Walt Disney World, those little sort of out-of-the-way things maybe that easily get overlooked. Everybody knows about roller coasters. We could all talk about, you know, Space Mountain and Splash Mountain and Haunted Mansion till our faces turn blue. But what really makes Walt Disney World such a special place, I think, is, you know, the sort of extra layers of richness that come from things like the kinds of hidden gems that we'll talk about tonight. So, I don't know, you know, I think it was Brad who had suggested this topic. So, you know, Brad, why don't you start us off and share one of the hidden gems that you thought about when you thought about the Magic Kingdom area. And when I say that, we're talking about, you know, the Magic Kingdom Park and then the resorts around the Magic Kingdom Park area as well.
Okay, thanks. So, you know, it was really easy for the number one top thing to come to my mind. I can still vividly remember the first time I experienced this on my first trip to the Walt Disney World, and since then I've hunted it down in Disneyland and multiple times at Disney World, and that is push the talking trash can. I just think that is the coolest bit of technology. I could sit there and watch that crazy guy or that can freaking people out for an hour. I mean, it's amazing.
All right. So for people who haven't stumbled across Push yet, why don't you kind of tell us a little bit about Push, where you find Push, and really, you know, what you mean when you talk about a talking trash can?
Sure. It's basically what it is. It is an actual trash can. It's actually a working trash can. You can open the lid. You can drop your trash in it. But it's motorized. It's mechanized like a little robot. And there's a cast member who's sitting off to the side inconspicuously with a headset and then a controller. And then what he'll do is correct me if I'm wrong, guys, Push at Walt Disney World is near Space Mountain. Isn't that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. I get it mixed up because I've seen them in both places. So, but yeah, it's near Space Mountain. It's usually going down towards the bathrooms around the corner from Space Mountain is where I've usually seen him. And basically somebody will come up and go to drop trash in the trash can. And as soon as they drop the trash in the can will say, well, thank you so much. I was hungry. And then it'll start following them down the road. And it's pretty funny to watch him work some grandmas and the kids and, But that's usually where I found it, and that's how it works.
Sure. And you know, where else but Walt Disney World do you find a trash can that creates an interactive character experience with your family? I mean, you know, it's exactly the kind of thing we're talking about. You know, hidden gems, things that aren't the things that are at the top of your touring plan usually, but really do add a touch of magic to your day. So, Don, how about you? What's a hidden gem that you'd like to share with our listeners?
This isn't really hidden, but it's because it's not that popular. It is with the enthusiast. It would be Carousel of Progress. I know it's not really hidden, but to me, it's because you go in there, you never have to wait to get on that. I mean, and usually you get into the theater and there's like 15 people in there, you know, and it just, to me, it's so essential Disney.
No, not the Q word.
Well, I mean, it's just
essential.
Yes, I knew it as it was out of my mouth that I said it wrong, but it's really, you know, with Disney, all it is. I mean, it's the story in it, the all the details, the animatronics. It's something that Walt actually touched, you know. And like I said, I know it's not like out of the way, and it's, you know, but a lot of people just ignore it. And to me, it's something that, you know, we tried to do. Even my 11-year-old daughter loves to go in there because just, you know, it's just something about it.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, I know what you mean, and I think it really is. It's not that it's tiny or unnoticed, but it is out of the way a bit. It's kind of over in that corner of Tomorrowland, and, you know, arguably it doesn't really belong in Tomorrowland. It probably belongs, you know, somewhere else. And I think it does get overlooked. You know, people head to Tomorrowland and they hit Space Mountain and they hit the Monsters, Inc. laugh floor. But I think people a lot of times just kind of forget that, you know, up over there on the right, there's another attraction that's worth checking out and that is a real piece of Disney history and something that is its own sort of, again, an immersive interactive experience in its own way.
Yeah, I think that was an excellent choice, Don. I didn't think about that, but really, when you think about it, most people don't go to it. It is a hidden gem because usually people just ignore it until you've done it, and then you fall in love with it.
Well, and in addition to being an interesting experience, I mean, for people who haven't been to Carousel of Progress, it is one of the attractions that was originally developed by, you know, Walt and the Imagineers for the World's Fair in New York. And it sort of tells a story of technological development. It was originally sponsored by GE. And so, you know, it centers around sort of, you know, the way the things around your home change over time. And it's a little kitschy, a little dated now, but you do get a sense of what, you know, Walt and the Imagineers were trying to do with it. And it's some of the earliest examples of fully articulating animatronics.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know, it just, you know, to me, it just screams Walt, especially if you've, you know, read anything about him or if you, you know, do any studying about it. I mean, that was one of the, you know, things he was really proud of at the World's Fair, you know, so.
And on a hot day, it's an air-conditioned theater, and it's a show that hasn't been truncated down like Country Bears so that, you know, you're not even done sweating by the time the show's over and they got to get up again. So even if you're not a huge fan of the show, it's a nice place to, you know, cool off and catch your breath.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
All right, so David, how about you? What's one of your favorite Magic Kingdom area hidden gems?
Well, I'm gonna go out of the park for a minute and over to the Polynesian and say the Polynesian Beach during wishes.
Nice call.
Get you out of the park, get you to a place where you can see all the fireworks, still hear the music. You're gonna have some people there with you, but even if you aren't staying at the resort, you can make your way over there, have a nice late dinner at Ohana, walk down, hang out on the beach. You get the Disney firework experience without all of the hustle and bustle of trying to find a good spot, trying to beat the crowd out so you can get to some place to take your sleepy children home or back to the resort. And it's just it's chill.
It is. It's a much more relaxed way to experience the fireworks than in the hustle and bustle of Main Street or even, you know, Liberty Square if you're trying to find a place out of the way to watch the fireworks.
Yeah, there's several places where you can do it, but I think you got it, David. I think because you can do it at Wilderness Lodge, you can do it at, you know, Grand Floridian. But I think at Poly, not only do you get the music, but I think you get the best angle. It just seems like it's a more natural view of the fireworks.
Yeah, well, because you've got the best view of the castle itself, I think,
exactly.
From there.
Yep.
Well, you know, as long as we're at the Polynesian, I'm going to stay there at the Polynesian with one of my hidden gems. I don't know that it's hidden so much as sort of overlooked, and that is the Neverland Club at the Polynesian. The Neverland Club is the child care center, for lack of a better word for it, but it's really a lot more than that. It is almost the equivalent of, you know, the kids' clubs on the cruise ships. My kids have stayed there and absolutely love it. You know, they want my wife and I to go and take an adult's night out so that they can have a night at Neverland Club. One of the reasons I think that it's a bit of a hidden gem is that people don't realize that you don't have to be staying at the Polynesian to use it. Anybody can enroll their kid at Neverland Club and take advantage of the service it provides. You know, it's not cheap. I'm trying to remember, I want to say it's about $11 a kid per hour. But really, the way babysitting prices go these days, that's not that bad, especially since it includes dinner. So, you know, you take them there, you drop them off at 6 o'clock or so. You know, you're right on the monorail there at the Polynesian. You could, you know, hop to a restaurant along the way. My wife and I enjoyed a dinner, you know, an adult dinner at California Grill. You know, the kids are fine at Neverland Club. They can stay there until midnight. So you can pick them up anytime before midnight. And, you know, the kids get to have their own private time too, which they really appreciated. They had fun hanging with the other kids and with the counselors in the Neverland Club, the cast members who work with them.
That sounds really cool.
Yeah. My kids were, unfortunately, by the time we came to Disney World, my kids were too old for the child care side of it.
Right, so. Right.
But I can't wait to have grandkids. It sounds like something they'll really enjoy.
Yeah, you know, the one thing to remember is they need to be potty trained. We were right on the line with my youngest the first time we used it. But, you know, he made it through the evening. Let's put it that way.
It's all that matters.
That's right.
It's all that matters.
All right. So, Brad, we'll come back around to you and see if you've got another Magic Kingdom area hidden gem you'd like to share.
Well, I was kind of looking at one thing, but I think I'm going to play off of the fireworks viewing, because the other thing that I missed for several trips out there, I didn't even know that it existed. And then one time we were out strolling along Wilderness Lodge at night, checking out the beach, and all of a sudden along came the electrical water pageant.
Excellent point.
And I tell you what, it's old. It's dated, you know, it's like Carousel of Progress. Maybe somebody will look at it and go, you know, where's the modern technology? But it's just Disney. It just feels like you're at Disneyland when that water pageant's going on. And we really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you know, I love the water pageant, and I love to try and, you know, time an opportunity to watch it. The nice thing is you can see it from any of those resorts that are right along on the Magic Kingdom side. You know, Wilderness Lodge, Polynesian, Contemporary, Grand Floridian, you can see it from any of them. You know, you can hear the music from any of those beaches, and you know, kind of connecting it up with David's comment about the fireworks, the water pageant sort of is an extra bonus that you get when you go and watch the fireworks from one of those beach locations.
And I keep forgetting, not everybody listening to the podcast necessarily knows what we're talking about. So for those that don't know the water pageant, it's basically barges that travel through the water that have a lighting effects, the fish jumping out of the water, and there's all kinds of music and dancing lights. I don't know. It's kind of a on the water, Christmas lights from Epcot. or I'm sorry, Hollywood Studios.
It's the Main Street Electrical Parade on water.
There you go.
Yeah,
that's perfect. That's really what it is. That's a great way to describe it. Same kind of music, kind of that techno music.
It's got a bit of that synthesizer sound. And you know, it is a classic element of Walt Disney World. It's an attraction that was basically thrown together so that they would have something to entertain people opening weekend of the park. And it's become such a beloved sort of bit of Disneyana that it has never stopped.
Yeah, I was commenting that I was pretty sure that had been there. That's one of the few things that's been there since day one. So, especially as a parade or anything like that, show. It's been there since day one.
Yeah, I mean, it may be the only element that's been relatively unchanged since the day that the resort opened. You know, as I understand it, it debuted opening weekend, and it's been running ever since. I think we're back around to your turn again, Don. What's another hidden gem of the Magic Kingdom area of Walt Disney World Resort?
One of our favorite little quiet spots. There's not anything really going on here, but it's the area behind the Christmas shop. If you want to have a nice quiet spot, like after lunch or in the heat of the day, and just kind of do a little people watching, there's some benches back there where you can just kind of get away from it all and just kind of relax and enjoy things for a little bit without really leaving the park. It's always been a little nice little area to kind of go to and just kick back for a little while we've been there.
Okay. And I'm sorry, I think I missed the very beginning there. Where exactly were you talking about in the Magic Kingdom?
Oh, it's an area, it's right behind the Christmas shop.
Oh, okay. Up around the Liberty Square area.
Yes, right behind there. There's a little path back there that kind of cuts through. And it's not really a attraction or something to see.
Is that near where you're talking about? Near where the Tiana meet and greet is now?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that is a really nice little area, and you're right. It's almost the definition of hidden because it's just sort of out of the way there, but it is a great place to kind of relax a little bit and get away from the crowd. As long as Tiana's not there.
Yeah, well,
even I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Even with her
That's
there,
okay.
it's not that crowded. We ended up having to wait in line for Tiana the last time we were there, and I mean there were maybe 10 people in line, and this is at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, so it was in middle of summer, so it was crowded, and it was still in that area. Not much.
Okay.
There's really no one there.
And that can also be a fun little area to catch some characters that you might not expect to find. We have found, along that pathway, we run into characters that in ways that you don't seem to do very often at Walt Disney World anymore. We ran into Peter Pan along that pathway on our last trip, just kind of hanging out. It was a
wow.
Nice happenstance.
That's really nice.
Doesn't Peter Pan hang out like on the bridge very close to there?
Exactly. That's where,
the corner?
Yeah, that's where we ran into him. We saw him, he was just on the bridge hanging out, just past there. Yeah, exactly. That whole area is a nice kind of, that back way back towards Main Street is a nice little kind of hidden enclave.
Yeah, it looks like it was put in as kind of like a way from, Liberty Square over to Adventureland, and just no one uses it.
Right.
We ran into the exact same thing. It was nice.
All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and stay with David here in the Magic Kingdom again. And I don't know how hidden it is. I know people talk about it some, but it is kind of hard to find sometimes. So it's a food treat. You couldn't leave food out of the hidden gem category here. And this is at the lunching pad, which is back again over in Tomorrowland. They have the cream cheese pretzel. And you would think initially that doesn't make any sense, but it's different. It's not your typical, rolled in salt pretzel. Instead, it is sort of a sweeter pretzel with a soft cream cheese filling inside of it. And I think it's a nice little treat. It's a little different than your usual snack. It's not melty like ice cream. It's not it's a neat, different alternative. It's something that you don't find most other places, and it's tasty.
Never had one of those.
Well, see, that's what a lot of people say that. That's why it's a hidden gem.
Put it on our list now, huh?
Yeah, put it on the list.
Yep. Got to try it.
All right, so Brad, can we send it back around to you for one more?
Sure. Yeah. By the way, we gotta stop adding things to the bucket list, guys. It's supposed to get smaller, not bigger.
Just got to make another trip. Put another one on the
that's
list.
The problem with Disney is it just, you know, no matter how much you do it, you just find out how much more you got to do.
That's just like my honey to list at home.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, I'd say for if we're going to sum it up, the one that maybe has the most meaning for me and it means a lot to me because of my background. My father passed away when I was 14. He was a military man And I remember the flag from his casket being given to me just even as a young child, and it's still so vivid in my mind 45 years later. But it's the flag retreat that takes place at the end of the day there at Magic Kingdom where they retire the flag.
Yeah, it's a really nice little ceremony.
Yeah, it's for those that have people in the military, especially for people that don't know what we're talking about. They at the end of the day, the flag that flies over the Magic Kingdom, they'll go around and select somebody who's served in the military, and they'll ask them to come and to be a part of a ceremony that will bring the flag down and fold it up, and it's just a very special time.
Yeah, and do you remember about what time they do that?
It seems like it's not at dark. It's earlier. So probably 4?
I'm pretty sure it's 5 o'clock.
5? Okay.
Yeah, I'm almost positive.
It's definitely, it's usually, whenever I've been there, it's before it's dark. But it's getting towards the end of the day. So that would make sense. 5 o'clock, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it may not be a fixed time. I don't remember now, and I apologize. I'll try and check and see if I can find it for the show notes. Because it's not dusk just because I've seen it happen earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not necessarily getting dark yet. So,
and I don't think they publish a time anywhere. I don't. I just kind of have hung out there the couple
right.
times I've seen it until it happens.
Yep. All right. Well, Don, do you have another hidden gem for us?
Yes, I would. Again, this isn't really hidden, but it is walking down Main Street and looking at all the windows on the second level of Main Street.
See, now I think that is hidden, and that's a great point. You know, it's easy to get distracted. Distracted may not be the word. It's easy to focus on the big stuff. I mean, Disney World is sensory overload, and it's really easy to just get lost in the big stuff. And there's some great little stuff if you lift your eyes and look for it. And so, Don, tell us a little more about what you mean about looking at the windows.
Well, the windows are the biggest thing that they do is they pay tribute to important people in Disney history. For whatever they did. It could be somebody that was very much a leader in costume design. But then there's also Walt and his brother. And what they do is they play word tricks with their titles. I'm describing this poorly right now. The windows will have like proprietor... it's almost like who owns this business that's
sure.
below it.
Right.
But their description on their business has more to do with what they did for Disney.
Right. It gives a hint as to what they were famous
right.
for.
Yeah. That's it. It's more of a hint as to what they did as to not their actual title. So it's kind of fun to, you know, see the wordplay that they use and to see how they honored a lot of the important people in Disney history. And if you can, if you really listen, you can actually hear stuff going on upstairs.
Yeah.
It's really not the business at hand. It goes back to the time that this is supposed to represent. So, you know, if you really pay attention, you can hear stuff going on upstairs. You know, you can – I believe there's a – somewhere up there, there's a dance school, and you can hear like them dancing, you know, so, and stuff like that. So it's really kind of cool, you know. And it, to me, this is the kind of stuff that I really, really get into over there is and what makes me the Disney geek that I am. I love the details and the backstory.
Sure.
I mean, you do not get that with any other place other than Disney.
Right.
You know, there might be some great other theme parks out there, but nobody does the detail and the backs. You know, everything's got a backstory to it. Everything's got a reason for being, what it is, where it is, how it is, and when you learn about these things, it's really awesome. You know,
I really like. I'm sorry about that. I really like this whole idea, Don, because when you think about it, guys, like you said it well, Aaron, when we get into the park, we just put on blinders. We're focused and we're getting down Main Street. There's so much that happens on Main Street. The smells at certain locations, the sound that you're talking about, the windows. And you're right. What other place anywhere can you go that's that immersive where literally the windows, the sound effects, the odor, the smells, the fragrances are all there specifically to emote a certain thought in at that exact spot in the park?
Yeah, definitely. I guess I'm going to stick along with the theme of sort of, you know, Disney history and Disneyana when I mentioned the next thing on my list here, which is, again, in a Disney Magic Kingdom resort area, and that is kind of tucked away in the Wilderness Lodge. There is the Carolwood Pacific Room, and it's really, you know, kind of a special place for people who are fans of trains and know about, you know, Walt Disney's sort of childhood and childish love of trains. He was fascinated by steam trains, and there's like a mini museum in Wilderness Lodge that focuses on Walt's hobby of steam trains. It's called the Carolwood Pacific Room, and it's tucked away. It, you're not going to find it in you know, the main part of Wilderness Lodge. It's over in the Villas building of Wilderness Lodge. It's
last time I was there, I looked for it, but I was in such a hurry, I couldn't ask anybody and right. I couldn't find it. That's why I didn't find it.
Yep. And that's why you didn't find it. That's the trick. It's a true hidden gem. It's over in the Villas building. But you know, there are, there's tables set up where you could relax and play chess, 'cause it's the kind of thing that Walt might've liked to do in the park with the, you know, train going by. There's a fireplace there with, you know, ironwork trains around it. There are model trains of various sizes. And, you know, you can even see a replica of, you know, the engine that's at Main Street Station at Disneyland. Even the Carolwood Pacific logo on the cars, you know, in a smaller scale. So it's just a really great little retreat and kind of the definition of a hidden gem, because if you're not looking for it, you're not going to find it.
Yeah, I've never been in there.
It's pretty cool. I haven't been there for years, probably since I stayed there, which is, wow, 15 years ago. But yeah, no, I, as you were saying it, I like memories started to pop back in of the chess boards, and yeah, it was, yeah, nice. Good choice.
Good call.
Glad you liked that one. All right, David, I think you owe us one more.
Yes, I do. And, well, no one said a restaurant yet, huh?
No, nobody said a whole restaurant.
A whole
just a
restaurant.
Food item, yeah.
Food item. All right, this probably isn't that hidden. It's starting to get a lot more play, especially after it was just mentioned in a Parents Magazine article a couple months ago. But 1900 Park Fair, and I know I've spoken about this on a previous podcast, but as far as character dining goes, and granted, it is strictly Cinderella, so as long as you have daughters, you're good.
Now, wait a second. It's only Cinderella for dinner.
For dinner, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah.
It's Alice and the Mad Hatter at breakfast.
Yeah, Mad Hatter is awesome.
But anyway, go ahead.
Haven't done breakfast. I've only done dinner. And we used to do dinner a lot there because they had prime rib and it was solid. The food is a little above standard Disney buffet fare. There's some fresher offerings. I think there was sushi the last time I was there. So, you know, take it or leave it. But it's in the Grand Floridian Resort. It's off the beaten path. Character dining. It's not crazy expensive. Food is good. And like was pointed out, there are several different character options per meal. Now, do they do the tea in that room also?
No, the tea is not in the same place. It's
in the counters.
It's over by where the what's the name? The Gasparilla.
Gasparilla. Yeah.
Is where the tea is. But no, I mean, I think 1900 Park Fair is a great example of a hidden gem because people know about it, but, you know, most of them couldn't find it if they hadn't already booked an ADR there, and so they hadn't already looked it up. And it's one that you just sometimes don't think about. It's a great alternative to, you know, the Cinderella's Royal Table or Acres House for those, you know, especially young girls who want to meet Cinderella. You know, it's one of those places where you don't even think about it, but it can be in some ways a better interaction with Cinderella because it's not Acres House and Cinderella's Royal Table, which are you know, I think seems to me at least much more densely set.
Yeah,
we haven't done the dinner there, but with Mad Hatter and that was the best interaction we've ever had with characters at any meal. It's phenomenal.
I'll tell you what, it's worth going to dinner just to see the two wicked stepsisters play off each other. It not only that, but off the guests. Like, I saw one, we were getting sat, and I forget which sister it was, but she grabbed a lady by the shoulders and stared at her earrings and was like, "What prince gave you those?" and screamed across the restaurant for her sister. Like, it was perfect. And they played up the entire time that you're there.
It's always fun when they do stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You all have heard some of our favorite hidden gems of the Magic Kingdom area. I'm sure we could keep on going for another, you know, half an hour here. What we'd really like to hear is to hear from you and let you tell us some of your favorite Magic Kingdom area hidden gems. Maybe we'll be able to share some of those on a future podcast. The best ways to get in touch with us are to email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com, where we'll be posting this podcast. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter, or participate in the discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com. Until next time, thanks for listening. I've been Aaron Rittmaster with Don Donfris.
Good night, everybody.
Brad Coates.
Good night, everybody.
And David Jort.
Peace out.
word to your mama.
Brought to you by Fairy Tale Journeys, an authorized Disney travel planner. Let us help you put together your next magical Disney vacation. Find us at fairytalejourneys.com. Let us sweat the details so you don't have to.